The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse,
a beast.
We're told in the Book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
Here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From the frozen heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and don't you dare say the B word.
Oh, that's right. Got to say it three times.
Well, that's true. So if you only say it twice, we're okay.
Yes. Well, today is January the 21st of 2011.
It's Debunk the Beetlejuice Story Day.
That's right. We're talking Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice, Beetlejuice.
Oh, no. You said it three times.
Yes. Well, this is an interesting rumor.
Draw a door now.
Interesting rumor that I just heard about today, but apparently this is
one of those. I just heard about it today, too.
Internet rumors that is getting play in the mainstream media. CBS News reporting.
I saw it at Time.
Sydney Morning Herald.
Time.com.
Yeah. And it originates with this story from the Sydney Morning Herald that says that the star Beetlejuice, which is in the constellation Orion, may explode in 2012. And, of course, conspiracy theories ensue. Because if it explodes in 2012, oh, that was what the Mayans were talking about.
Well, here's the thing. This is a scientist who is being interviewed, and he is, I suppose he's got some sort of doctor letters behind his name that makes him someone that they'd even believe. But
Dr. Brad Carter, Senior Lecturer of Physics at the University of Southern Queensland.
Well, you'd think they would give him some chops, wouldn't
you? Yep.
Well, he is saying that Betelgeuse is due to supernova, he says, before 2012. And he says this year, for the most part, he believes that it will shower the Earth with neutrinos. Now, I found this story interesting because there's a Dogon creation myth that essentially says, and this is in the Orion constellation, Sirius C, B and C, I think, what are they looking at.
Right, right.
And this is back when science didn't even know B was there, much less C. And, and they're saying that there will be a star that will die in that direction. And I think they're even saying it's C, but okay, let's just say it's Betelgeuse. I won't say it two more times. They say it will shower the Earth with particles that will kill many people. And those who are not killed will be essentially upgraded.
Ah, okay. So, again, playing into this myth. Well, you know, the thing about this article is that the whole 2012 connection comes from the author of the article and not from Dr. Carter. Dr. Carter is simply pointing out that Betelgeuse, because it's a red giant star, which means it's really massive and it's running out of fuel in the center, will someday collapse on itself and turn into a supernova. Could happen tomorrow. It could happen in a million years. We don't know.
The author says
the supergiant star in Orion's nebula, Betelgeuse, is predicted to go gangbusters, and the impending supernova may reach Earth before 2012. Well, yeah, but it might not reach Earth until a million in 2012.
Well, that's true, and the internet is going crazy with it. It's lighting up all over the world.
Right.
But one of the connections, and I think it's curious, one is being made, is that just a couple of days ago, and the article at the Australian newspaper connects this to Tatooine.
Yes, yes.
Okay. The reason I bring that up is because a couple of days ago, George Lucas supposedly said that he believes that the world will end in 2012. And then yesterday he said, just kidding. Why'd you take me seriously on that? And so it's interesting that today we see Tatooine and end of world 2012, two stars.
I'm just going to George Lucas at Internet Movie Database to see if he's got any proposed projects dated past 2012.
Oh, I'm sure he does, for goodness sake.
Yeah, let's see what's he got here. Let's see.
Something, and then something, there's something
producer,
else.
Yeah. Okay, what's in post-production here? Well, no, it's only 2011. Yeah, just, I don't know. Maybe he really believes it. I don't know. Yeah.
Or maybe he's planning on retiring.
Could be.
Maybe
could
his
be.
World ends in 2012. He's retiring.
Yep. Well, anyway, the article, and this is where critical thinking and reading comprehension is so important. Mm-hmm. You read the article and you see by paying attention that Dr. Carter doesn't actually connect the date 2012, the year 2012, to any of this. All he's saying is that when Betelgeuse blows, whenever that might be, it could, you know, this could happen. The Earth may have essentially a second sun, or what looks like a second sun.
I would say we've got lots of chances out there.
Well, yeah.
It's a big sky.
Look, if you want to freak about something in the Midwest of the United States, let's talk about the New Madrid Fault, you know, where scientists...
Stop blaming poor New Madrid.
No, I'm sorry. The blame clearly lies right there. The New Madrid Fault is not as famous as the San Andreas Fault, but the last time it really shook, which was at the end of 1811, beginning of 1812, a number of times, it was felt as far away as Washington, D.C. You know, church bells rang in D.C. The Mississippi River changed course. It flowed upstream for several hundred miles. It was not widely recorded because in 1811, 1812, it was not densely populated in that area.
And
but
frankly,
today,
the aftershocks continued for a couple of years.
Yes, they did. Yes, they did. Nowadays, and again, that's about 200 years ago since the last time it really shook. Seismologists say there's about a 1 in 2 chance that sometime in the next 50, 75 years, it might shake again at some point.
Oh, I've got better doom than that.
And there are some little quakes that
get
go in the area.
Get your doom on by looking at Yellowstone, for goodness sake.
Well, we got more doom over there?
Oh, man.
Doom. So,
National Geographic is running a story that talks about how Yellowstone is up by 10 inches.
Hmm.
The ground has risen 10 inches. And if you actually read the article, you find the rate slowed since 2004 that it's risen 10 inches. However, geologists do find this a little bit puzzling, mm-hmm. and if not alarming, because it clearly means there's something pushing it up.
Yeah, and Yellowstone sits on top of the site of an ancient caldera, which is essentially a super volcano. You know, there have been movies about this. There was a BBC production, or maybe it was on BBC America?
It was BBC.
Yeah, where Yellowstone.
It was good.
Yeah, it had some good character actors that we're familiar with from some of the shows that we watch, you know, good Canadian and British actors. But the story was built around the eruption of a supervolcano at Yellowstone and what might happen. And they actually had some interviews before and after, if I remember correctly, about maybe it was on Discover. I seem to remember Peter Jennings doing some interviews before and after on, you know, with geologists and seismologists,
and
volcanologists.
Because really he's been dead for, what, 5 years now?
Yeah. So it's going back a little ways. And I could be wrong about this, and maybe I'm conflating this with something else in my mind. But anyway, it's not unknown that there's something going
has
on.
Has your scalp risen by 10 inches since 2004?
My heart has grown 3 sizes.
Honey.
But yes, Yellowstone is sitting on top of something very warm, as evidenced by the, hot steam erupting from various places around the park. And
well, you want to hear more doom?
Well, why not? We're the only ones on the internet who's kind of laughing about this stuff.
Well, you have to, because we know Jesus Christ has won the war.
Mm-hmm.
Not the battle. He won the war long ago. And it's just playing out as he has declared it from the very beginning. I mean, even before you and I were even thought of, before the foundations of the world were laid, Jesus Christ knew everything that was going to happen.
That's right.
He knew you and I were going to be having this conversation, and I'm sure he chortled.
Or shook his head sadly.
Yes.
You could have
probably
been doing
the latter.
So much,
you know, you guys. Well, my gosh. The Telegraph today is reporting that in Dubai, not only is their economy sinking, they're literally sinking. All those little man-made islands that they were selling to the Mucky Mucks, including Brangelina.
Uh-huh.
They're sinking.
Yeah, it's interesting because the Telegraph's headline says, "The world is sinking, Dubai Islands falling into the sea." But once you read the article and say, okay, no, these are the man-made islands that they piled up in the
air. That looked like different countries, and it is called, the collection is called The World.
The World. So, reading
the story.
Yeah, reading comprehension, very important here. These islands were supposed to be developed into luxury hotels and villas and so forth. And
one of a kind. What I find really interesting is about two-thirds down, it says many investors who did buy the islands proved unwilling or unable to finance further work when Dubai's property prices halved in the space of a year. Well, that's understandable. Some were hit by troubles elsewhere. The owner of the company which bought Ireland, for instance, for £24 million, John O'Dolan, committed suicide, while the man who bought Britain for £43 million, Safi Qureshi, is serving 7 years in jail in Dubai after being accused of, get this, bouncing checks.
The financial crisis that has affected the entire world has
affected
this development.
And then we helped bail out.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this is...
We sent them what? Something like $45 million? I don't know. I think it's in the article. Let me look.
Oh, as part of the bailout.
Sorry. $25 billion in debt.
Oh, that's right. Part of... it's part of Dubai World, which wanted to buy all those ports
in
the United States back in 2006.
Ding, 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 ding.
Well, very interesting. It's...
It's a small world, isn't it?
And it's getting smaller every day.
Oh, I shouldn't laugh. But, you know, here's the thing. I mean, these are essentially islands that were owned by the stinking rich that had nothing better to do with their money.
Right.
And so this year they're simply writing it off their taxes.
Yeah. They're not going to be too badly hurt.
Assuming
they
pay any.
Yeah. I mean, if you've got enough money to buy a small island that has been crafted in the shape of a continent – just for your own amusement and pleasure, it's difficult to feel too terribly sorry for those folks. I'm sorry.
I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't.
They need
the Lord. I will say that.
Well,
I mean, let's get real. They do. These people need the Lord.
Amen.
Because they are so wealthy, they're not going to. They are less likely to find him because they are relying upon their wealth.
Right. It's easy to find a lot of to buy a lot of things that will numb you spiritually to what your needs are. I mean, you know, you feel longing, a tugging of the heart, and you think, okay, it's because I need a new yacht or something, and to go take care of it, to buy it, and on a smaller scale, even here in the United States, where we are arguably the wealthiest society, top to bottom, in the history of the world. It's very easy for us to do the same thing, maybe on a smaller scale.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of buying a yacht, you buy another 12 pack or
kids today
whatever.
That. Think that they have nothing, in fact, have so much more. Compare yourself to those people living on dirty water and no shelter in Haiti.
Yeah. Or even our ancestors 200 years ago who were moving into the uncleared forests of Indiana.
When it kept shaking because the New Madrid Fault didn't know how to shut up.
Well, yeah, and against the wishes of the people who already lived here. Like Tecumseh and the tribes that were following
him. I'm glad you brought that up because that connects to the next story.
Oh,
you are
even,
really good.
I read it in your eyes. No, actually, I had no clue.
The shaman at the Tucson Memorial.
Oh, yeah. The fellow who opened the memorial with about a 15-minute blessing.
This is an article at weaselzipper.us. Sorry, weaselzippers.us.
That's not a site I visit very often.
I can't even remember how I found it. Scouring the bowels of the internet. The shaman was a sham. That's what the article says.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about a recent interview that the so-called shaman gave, Dr. Carlos Gonzalez of University of Arizona College of Medicine.
Uh-huh.
He admits that he's a Catholic.
Well, he did say up front, though, that this was something he'd been given permission to do, but
yes,
that he was not
he did,
himself.
And I said that. And what
that's,
I find really
right,
interesting,
he
says, I'm Yaqui, and Yaquis have been Roman Catholics since 1650. We were one of the first tribes in Mexico to actually peacefully absorb Catholicism. However, we have always practiced Catholicism in our own unique manner.
Ah, okay.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. Grew up as a Roman Catholic with a Yaqui variation, he says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, that is interesting. I think the other question is why this particular blessing was chosen for, and there may be a good reason for it. I don't know.
Well, we've talked about that before.
Right. Don't know the
politically correct.
Sure.
Include everybody but God.
Yeah, I mean that would be the easy explanation. I don't know the ethnicity or the religious beliefs of most of the people, or of any of the people really, who were victims. Gabrielle Giffords, we know, was raised Jewish. Mm-hmm. Don't know if she was practicing. I suspect with a husband named Kelly that he probably is not Jewish, but I don't know that
he
for a fact.
He may have converted,
so we don't know. But you know, there have been those who've asked the question. You know, why not a priest, a pastor, a rabbi? Kind of an odd thing. It does appear that it was more a bow to political correctness than anything else, but kind of an odd way to begin the blessing the doors and everything. It seemed kind of an odd.
Here's another odd thing about it. He blessed the seven cardinal directions, 7 points.
Seven.
Yes, yeah, seven.
Huh.
Well, let me go back and see how the seven directions are basically the cardinal directions. Plus, Father Sky, which is above us,
right?
Mother Earth,
mm-hmm.
that makes six, which is down below us, and the seventh direction, which is the center. I read this paragraph, and those of you who are sci-fi fans out there, you may have made the same connection I did. I pictured Stargate, where Daniel is at the movie, where Daniel is at the chalkboard explaining why you need seven of those chevrons.
Right. Okay. To fix yourself in particular
space and time.
Space and time. Interesting. Okay.
So, some shaman at the other end of the wormhole is doing the same ceremony.
Same deal. Yeah. Speaking of the ceremony, there's a question raised and a story that has come out that has not been part of the media storyline about the shooting, and that was regarding federal judge John Roll, who was one of the victims, one of the people who died as a result of the shooting, and how he actually died saving another man's life. He saved the life, according to videotape evidence now that's come out.
Now, you and I have not seen the videotape. We've only read the article.
Read an account of the videotape. It appears that the chief judge of the Ninth Circuit, John Roll, when the shooting began, pushed another man, Ron Barber, who was Representative Gifford's district director, down and then shielded him with his own body and guided him to shelter under a nearby table. And then Loeffner, according to the report of the account of the videotape, took a look, saw the judge there shielding this man with his body and shot the judge in the back. But we've not heard this story, which is kind of curious.
I find this so curious. Why? I mean, this is heroic.
Mm-hmm.
Roll died saving this man's life.
That's right. That's right.
At the very least, this man who survived, has he come out and thanked, you know, Roll's family?
We don't know. Don't know. Have not really researched this. Just saw this in a column.
Well, the article says he has not. The article claims that no one is really talking about this. Maybe true or not. I don't know. But I do find it really interesting. Mm-hmm. Roll was shot in the back. But also, let me just remind everybody, if you don't remember that we talked about this, Giffords was shot in the back of the head.
Mm-hmm.
So she was the first target. How is it that – did she just happen to turn? I mean, did she see Loeffner and then start to run away? I mean, did she recognize him?
Yeah, we don't know. We don't know. And our point here is not to criticize anybody.
No, heavens no, not at all. We're just trying to understand what's going on.
Right. And to give Judge Roll his due. I mean,
yes.
he performed an heroic act and
yes.
deserves to be remembered as such.
And is Ninth Circuit the one that is so liberal for the most part in their adjudication? It's the one that I think covers California.
I believe that is correct, but I'm going to have to look that up to be sure that's the same court that we're thinking of.
I don't mean to stump, to put you on the spot, but were you the one who was telling me that there was something that Roll was involved in that may have made him a target?
No, there was a rumor, another internet rumor going around that because he had ruled against the seizure of some cash that was trying to be smuggled out of the country, someone was trying to smuggle about $330,000 out of the country, I forget what, but anyway, it was a typical forfeiture hearing, and the story is, I don't know this for a fact, but the story is that because he was ruling against the government's seizure of this cash, that He was targeted by the federal government because it was, standing up to Obama and the administration's attempt to steal Americans' 401ks and retirement funds and yada, yada. Again, it was a flight of fancy story. There are a lot of forfeiture hearings and cases that come before the courts. You can find them listed at forfeiture.gov every day. They publish a new list once a month so that people who might have a claim on the on whatever, it's not always money. Sometimes it's cars or, things that are either seized in drug busts or that are being smuggled across the border. If you've got a claim to it, you can go there and, file with the government to try to, get it back or whatever. And the story was then, because Judge Roll was hearing this one case and ruled or was about to rule against it. And again, I don't know that for a fact. This is just the way the story was.
This is the internet story. And trust me, just because it's, everywhere on the internet does not make it true.
Yes.
Just because we say it doesn't make it true. Check it out. Make sure that what we're saying lines up with truth.
He was the chief judge of the district court for the District of Arizona. Okay, so not Ninth Circuit, the chief district court for the District of Arizona.
Okay, I think her article actually says Ninth Circuit.
Is not apparently correct.
Hmm.
So, he was basically the leading judge in the state of Arizona.
What do you think it would be like if you and I had this radio show back during the days of Saul and David? And so, did you hear what Saul did today? Well, he threw his javelin again.
Yeah.
He's always throwing the javelin. What's with that?
Palace spokesman said it was simply an accident, merely an accident. Nothing to be read into
the story.
He was
handing the javelin to David is what I heard.
Yeah, and David just, there was a miscommunication with the exchange. These things happen all the time. Nothing to see here.
And there are some that say that that whole Goliath incident, never happened.
That would be interesting to go back and do a show based on maybe for April 1st, we should do something like that.
That sounds like a good. We'll talk. We'll talk.
Well, what else is happening as we wrap up the week here? So we've got Yellowstone bulging and
it's cold here.
Beetlejuice getting ready to blow up. Yeah, we could use a little heat. Now, don't want it to come from the Yellowstone caldera.
No, or neutrinos coming from a blast by Beetlejuice.
Yeah.
Beetlejuice.
Well, what else?
I took a picture today, by the way, of our Christmas cactus.
Yeah.
I will post that to Facebook. It's just now blooming. This is a Christmas cactus.
So it's just a month late.
Well, I think it's a proof that we really are off in our seasons.
Ah, the times and seasons have been changed.
They have been
changed.
A Christmas cactus would know, would it not?
You would think so.
Should be genetically bred.
The magnetic north is moving.
I don't know. It's thrown it off. I don't know.
Oh, I guess this means winter's at least a month longer. It sure feels like it here.
Oh, don't say that. I'm going to go flush that cactus down the toilet. Actually, that would be a bad idea.
Yep. Oh, well, yeah, it is awfully chilly here. We're in single digits Fahrenheit, 8 degrees Fahrenheit in central Indiana this afternoon. That was our high temperature, actually.
The wind chill was like minus 15.
This morning, wind chill got down to about minus 12, minus 15.
People up in Minnesota are going, oh.
Yeah. Oh, we long for those days.
And the people up in Wisconsin are going,
Packers, woo!
And someone in Cleveland is going, Packers, woo!
Yeah.
No, it's going to be the Bears.
Yeah, this weekend, of course, we're just...
It's the real Super Bowl.
For Bears fans, yeah, this might as well be the real Super Bowl.
Because Packers.
I grew up in Chicago, and Bears-Packers is like Cubs-Cardinals. It is like Mets-Phillies. I don't know, in hockey, what would be like, you know, Ranger.
Wouldn't be like peanut butter and jelly, though, because those two actually work well together.
Yeah.
We're talking opposites here.
It'd be, you know, Luke Skywalker and, you know, Darth Vader, I suppose. And,
although Darth Vader turned out to be Luke Skywalker's father, so I'm not so sure that that's a good analogy.
Well, I'm probably not going to see that revelation Sunday at Soldier Field. No, Bears, Packers, and, of course, Steelers and New York Jets are playing in the AFC, and those four teams are competing for the right to go to the Super Bowl, which, if you're listening outside the United States, is to us what the World Cup is to soccer fans.
This is the real football.
Yeah. And Chicago Bears, Green Bay Packers are the two oldest football teams in the National Football League, dating back to the early 20s. The Bears, in fact, didn't start out as the Chicago Bears. They started out as the Decatur Staleys. Decatur is a state, is a town in, you know, central Illinois.
The Bears.
The Bears. So
chipmunks, maybe. It's one of my favorite lines from A Christmas Story.
So who's
on your show tonight?
But,
let's quickly get to that.
Needless to say, Russ Dizdar and I will not be on the telephone Sunday afternoon after 3 p.m.
Come on, let's call him.
Tonight at 10 p.m. Eastern Time, that's tonight, Friday, January 21st, we'll be talking to Chris Putnam about transhumanism as a religion, the 2012 myth, and how ancient astronauts are being, you know, conflated with the Mayan prophecies, all of that over the course of a couple hours tonight. Chris has a really interesting background because he has been through the dark side, and he's traveled the left-hand path for a while, and he has come back and made a choice, and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit is really educating himself, publishes a wonderful website called Logos Apologia, which you'll find online at logosapologia.org. We'll talk about that tonight, what kind of things you can find there. He's written some pieces that have been published elsewhere. Chris White's website, Tom Horn and Tom Anita Horn's website, Raiders News Network. He's doing some research and writing for Chuck Missler at Koinonia House. So, you know, Chris is a smart guy. It was blessed to meet him when at the Nashville conference, the Last Days conference in Nashville.
He's going to be in Fort Wayne.
And he will be up in Fort Wayne. And so we look forward to seeing him there and meeting him there again.
That's April 1st. You and I can't do it. We'll have to figure out another day to do that.
Yeah, I guess you're right. So that all tonight, 10 p.m. Eastern time at blogtalkradio.com/PID radio.
I guess that's it.
Yeah. Well, until then and until next time.
Beetlejuice.
I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon to get us out of here. And living in the past.